Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you can hear me. If somebody could just send me a raised hand that you're hearing me with the Zoom, that'd be great, and then I'll start the meeting. Thank you, Paul. Okay, welcome. I call to order this meeting on April 25 at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 p.m. Belize Time. And I want to welcome you all to our first Zoom meeting. And with Zoom, for those of you who may not be familiar, there is a toolbar along the bottom that says reactions, and you can click on that and raise a hand. Or what you can do is, depending on the device you're using, there could be something along the top that has three dots and more, and that's where you can access the raise hand feature. Yes, and I am recording. Thank you. I did turn it on. Thank you. So proof of the notice of the meeting was sent by email approximately 2 weeks ago, and we had also posted it on our website. When the meeting is open for discussion, that's where you can use the raise hand and click on it, and then you will be unmuted. Okay. So we have a review and approval of the minutes for March 21st, 2021. Unfortunately, we received them only yesterday morning, and so it does take us a while to go through them. So we will put that on our May meeting to review them. The board members like to review them in detail and put that on our May agenda and for approval. So moving on to this, the state of the community, I do want to clarify a point that was made. It was kind of my error. I had welcomed Walter and Georgette and stated that they were owners of lot 104 and lot, no, 114 and lot 2. Unfortunately, we only have record of them owning lot 2 at this point. So until we receive clarification that they are actually owners of lot 114, the board does not consider that to be the case. And then next, what I would like to say is, should be no surprise, but this community, we really want to move forward in a more united way, and therefore I'm just going to give you a little bit of background about myself. When I became involved with the board in 2019, it was to assist in making this community better. Instead, what I uncovered was quite the opposite. There were favors given to some lot owners who had unpaid fees and were not being charged the 1% interest. A lot owner actually was allowed to start building with unpaid HOA fees. There was nothing in place to confirm that pets were vaccinated according to SDCRs, and there were other things as well. So these doings were against our CCRs, as we all know, and our bylaws, which have been put in place since day one. And we, in 2020, the board, it was our mandate to make sure that every lot owner would be treated equally. And then because of these things that were not being done in 2019, I had resigned because there was no, I felt that my input was not going to affect the change that I thought was needed. So then I ran for the board again in 2020. And at that point, I was encouraged to take an HOA board certification course, which I was very thankful that I did, because it clearly stated that turning a blind eye toward homeowners who break the rules or the CCRs, bylaws, just because they are your friends or want to be your friends, is unfair behavior and should not be allowed to continue. So We accomplished that, as I said, in 2020, and your current board will continue to do this. Every lot owner is encouraged to contact the board via our email if this is not being done. Our board email again is bibhoaboard@gmail.com. And I would really appreciate it if you would address your, not address your email to any individual board member, as we are a team. You just need to send it to the board and we would deal with that. So having said that, let's hope we can move this community forward like we did in 2020 and accomplish what we really want to and need to. At this point, I would like to advise that the board has appointed Melissa Friedman as our vice president, and Beth Weary has taken over as member at large. As we know, Doug resigned for very personal reasons, and that is completely 100% understood. So we do welcome Melissa and Beth to the board. In addition to this, next will be the treasurer's report. So let me see here, Cindy. I have unmuted you. And so Cindy, if you are ready to give the treasurer report, that would be great.
Yes, ma'am. Our income for this past month was $6,900.80 from Excella. We've dropped down to 69 lots that are delinquent, but those 69 lots total still owing us $388,397. Our expenses this month were just our normal operating expenses, except for adding $2,815.50 for the legal fees for our lawyer to draw up the legal paperwork for Forest Hill Drive. But in all, that leaves us the total liquid assets of $94,832.97. That's all I got.
Great. Okay, thank you very much, Cindy. I don't think anyone has any questions regarding that. We are in great shape at this point, but we do have we're hoping to do Forest Hill Drive once when we get the that settled. Next is the committee status updates, and the first one is our EAB, and Paul Lorisella, if you want to give us an update on that, that would be great.
Okay, sure. The EAB dealt with four different items this month. Item one was the ongoing problem with Lot 114 in their culvert. We sent an email to them on March 27th and got no response. Then on April 5th, we sent another email, which was passed on to them by the board, informing them that we feel that, you know, their culvert was poorly designed due to a couple of factors, such as small diameter of the pipe and it being way below the level of normal flow. And also this received no response from the owners. Therefore, we have informed the owners through the email that we will bear no responsibility for any damages that may occur to their lot, other properties, or especially to the road. Another thing we dealt with or trying to deal with this month is Mr. Tremblay asked for a removal of fallen trees from his lot number 3. We asked him for a drawing. He sent us a little diagram, which is pretty worthless. It seems that he has, besides the fallen trees, maybe a dead tree or two that he wants to take down. We have asked him to provide someone to mark the trees so we can get a better look and understand what he wants. I got one more thing, and we've also dealt with lots 54 and 99. They both requested permission for tree and undergrowth removal. Explanation was given to both those owners about the proper way to proceed, and as of yet, we have heard nothing else from them. That's all she wrote. Hello?
Sorry, I'm having problems here. Just a second.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Thanks very much, Paul. Does anybody have any questions for Paul? If you do, if you could use the raised hand, that would be great. No, I don't see any. Okay, so now we will have the update from Beth on the gardens.
Okay, I really don't have any updates. The garden committee is just maintaining what has been previously planted. There's tomatoes growing in the greenhouse, and some peppers were planted also. So we're just watering and keeping an eye on things. That's it.
Okay. Don't see that anybody has any questions for you, Beth, regarding the garden. So let's just hope that you have some great weather and the garden starts and continues to produce. Okay, and roads and maintenance. Brian, please.
Yes, I really have nothing to talk about either. I mean, dry season, with all the steeps done, excluding Forest Hill, there's really not much road work to do around here anymore. So, you know, that's all I really have.
Okay. And I don't see any questions from anybody on that, so that's good. Now, I don't see anybody on here for the Safety and Security Committee, unless I don't know who, phone number 765-603-6803. I'm going to unmute you right now. Unfortunately,
hello.
Hello. 765-603-6803.
Yes, this is Scott and Lynn.
Scott and Lynn. Okay. Thanks, Scott. I guess there's nobody on the call from the Safety and Security Committee today. So I'll have to, and I wasn't advised of that, so we'll go forward. So we have some items here for discussions. The first one is the review of the CCR's bylaws, rules, and regulations. Now, as most of you know, the CCRs, which is our covenants, conditions, and restrictions, are the most difficult to change because we need 80% of all lot owners to vote on that. And I don't think there's really anything at this point that needs to be changed on that. Our bylaws are a little easier to change, but at this point I don't really feel there's anything major pressing there that has to be changed at all. But it's our rules and regulations. Now, our rules and regulations were made up a couple of years ago, and they are not consistent with what our bylaws and CCRs state. So we want to review them, and we have had Paul Prescott come forward and Beth Weary, and they have volunteered their time to go through our rules and regulations, update them to reflect what our bylaws and CCRs state. And they have made a commitment to themselves and to the board that they will have that done in about 2 weeks, at which time they will post them on our website for everybody to review. And then at our main meeting, we can have a discussion on that, bring up anything there that you would like to ask or have clarity on or suggest any possible changes to anything. And if everyone is in agreement or whatever, we could vote on it to accept the revised rules and regulations. Does anybody have any questions on that at this point? Yes, Beth?
I'm sorry. I don't have any questions on what you just discussed, but I do have a question back with the safety committee. If we could just hop back to that when this discussion is over.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Okay, but there's none. So what we'll do, just a minute here. Yes, Paul?
Hi, Kathy. Just to add to that, if any lot owner has any suggestions or any changes they would like to see made to the new rules and regulations, they can email them to the board, and we will try to incorporate them. That's it. Thanks.
Great idea. Thank you. Okay, I don't see anything else here at the moment. Sorry, people. It's my first time, but I'm getting there. Okay, so if we're all in agreement with that, we'll let Paul and Beth do that, and along with their suggestions from any lot owners or if you've got any ideas. Next is an update on Forest Hill Drive. The only thing regarding Forest Hill Drive that I have to share with you is that we did send the funds to our attorney to have either a permanent easement or a legal right-of-way drawn up. We did ask him approximately what the time frame for that would be. They did come back and say 4 to 6 weeks, and the reason for that is because there would be out-of-country courier fees because he's situated in Belize, and we all know that that takes time. So hopefully, maybe by our next meeting, we can have a more concrete update for you on that. And we're looking forward to moving forward on that. Now, any questions on that so far on Forest Hill Drive? Okay. Then our next discussion here is placing liens on properties with past due HOA fees. We have over 300,000, I believe, in past due HOA fees. Now, that includes interest, but because we have Axela collecting our fees, they take that as their fee when they collect. So we get the principal, and that's how that cost structure works with Axela. So I have personally contacted an attorney, a different attorney, to see about placing liens on the properties. And I'd like to open it up for discussion if anyone wants to add any comments on that, if you want to raise your hand. I have Beth. Okay, Beth.
I think it's unfortunate. That's weird. Unfortunate that we have to take this route, but I think it's the next step that we have to take, and that is to put the liens on properties. I guess we would need to discuss, do the people that owe for this year, should they have liens put on, or are we going 2020 and on past, 2020, 2019, and not do anything for 2021 yet? That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, and that's a good one. I have also Cindy and or Paul Orsella. You have been.
I agree with Beth to the point that, 69 people or 69 lots, I should say, are not contributing to the community, but yet they reap the benefits and the property value increases and stuff. If you were anywhere else in the world, they would go ahead and place a lien on your house or your property until you sell it. I think it's only fair, and it is the right steps, but I do agree that we don't throw in the ones that have not paid their 2021, because with Axela, they could set up a payment plan with them or something like that.
Okay. Thank you. And Paul?
Yes, I agree with the idea of attaching liens to people who still owe money. And as far as the 2021 dues, I would say leave that up. I mean, Accela will know what the rules are in terms of what you have to do in order to be able to properly place a lien on it. But I would have nothing wrong with attaching the 2021 dues too, because, you know, they were due back in January or February. But Accela would know for sure the proper procedures, as well as the attorney.
Okay. There you go, Melissa.
Thank you, Kathy. I guess just sort of echoing what the others were saying, I'm just not clear on what the parameters are for the timeline to go to collection. Is there a delinquent for X number of days, weeks, months, or years, you know, or is it simply beyond the due date? Then it was my understanding there's the interest, obviously, that comes on top of that. When does the delinquency and the potential for a lien kick in?
Great question, Melissa. And I think that's something that we can have a discussion with our attorney on that and with Accela. What I understand is once when we take this move, Accela, if we give our attorney authorization to speak directly to Accela, then there is no personal involvement here. It's strictly between the attorney and Accela, which I like as well. But we can get collect more information. We can discuss this then at our next May meeting. This was just more or less an introduction here as to, or collecting of information to make sure that it's okay with people that we proceed this way.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm trying to unmute somebody here, and sometimes it takes a while. Okay, we have either Shelley or Tony Spruitt.
I agree that we should put the liens on. And I guess I would say from 2020 back, just, you know, some people maybe over this last year, we give a time to catch up, but I guess whatever the requirements with the law is, and yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But with all, just agreeing with that. Thank you.
Nope. Thank you, Tony. We appreciate that. We will, the board will move forward. We will continue our correspondence with the attorney. We will get some information from them and from Axla, what our next steps should be, and we'll bring that to our May meeting, and we could go forward in that regard. Okay?
Perfect.
Okay. Thanks very much. I have another one here. Hey, Sue, wait.
Oh, I'm just saying yes. I mean, I think the liens, my understanding is that there are people that have not paid for quite some time, and I think we should have done it long ago. So let's go.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I don't know why it takes me so long to unmute some people. There you go, Beth.
This is Brian.
Yeah. Brian? Hey.
I just want to say, you know, with placing liens on people that are not paying, we are all going to benefit because, you know, there's only a certain number of us carrying all the bills and everything it takes to operate this place, and the other people are not contributing. And they all signed the same CCRs as I did. And if we can get this in place, it's going to lower our HOA fees considerably. And, you know, that's just my thought. Thank you.
No, thank you. I don't know. I've got another raised hand here, but I cannot get them unmuted. sorry. Shelley or Tony Spruitt want to speak, but they have a raised hand, but I can't get them to unmute. Oh, there you go.
Okay, no, we just didn't lower our hands. Sorry for that.
Oh, okay, no problem. Okay, thank you, everybody. We will proceed and go forward and get more information on this from both, as I said, the attorney and AXLA. Next was questions and comments regarding the blast email that was sent out on April the 19th. In that we had, there were some comments made by Louis Tremblay that were considered not correct. And we responded to that. And we also had an email come in asking about expenses that were being spent for last year and so far this year. So we decided to add that to the blast email, along with some of the expenses that were incurred prior to the current HOA taking over from the developer. Just wondered if you read it, have any questions regarding it. It was just more or less an information that we wanted to share. I'm trying, Beth. There.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. There you go.
I just wanted to say that it's very unfortunate that lies are being spread. And there's positively no way that our community can possibly move forward if the lies continue. And it's just, I find it very sad and frustrating. That's right. All.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. We wanted to go back to the safety and security. And Beth, did you have, I'm going to unmute you again. You wanted to go back regarding the Safety and Security Committee?
Yeah, there was an issue this past week that all the over-the-counter medications were taken out of the first aid kit by the chair. And I think they need to be put back. The
really?
Over-the-counter medications would be ibuprofen, Imodium, Benadryl, antibiotic ointment, aspirin. Just simple medications that if our workers need them, they're there. If somebody in the community needs them and unfortunately ran out in their home, they know that they're there since it is quite a drive to get to town. And since nobody from the safety committee is on this call, I am wondering as what the board can do to ensure that these medications, over-the-counter medications, return back to the first aid kit for the community.
Well, I believe we as a board should send them an email asking them to be replaced or returned. And ask in the first place, I guess, why they were removed to begin with. Anybody else have any ideas? I've unmuted you again.
Yeah, back in February, this happened for the first time, and it was explained to Georgette that even though these over-the-counter medications are expired, they are still good, and they were placed back. We placed them back into the first aid kit, and now they're gone again. This is the second time that she has removed them after being told that she should not.
And we're following a doctor's advice.
We are following a doctor's advice on this, and also other doctors in the community and nurses and medical professionals in the community. So it's not, we have good advice on this, that they are still able to be used.
Okay. Okay. Melissa, I'm trying to unmute you. There you go, Melissa.
Thank you. Just a couple of things. Yeah, for the majority of those medications, as long as they're kept reasonably dry and not in the blazing sun, they're fine for a number of years after expiration date. Expiration date is a classic drug company and American thing to, you know, make sure we make tons of money off of people. That being said, I do feel it's important to ask Georgette what the situation was that motivated the removal of the meds from the box. I'm assuming she's aware of it, but I don't know as though she has responded. And I would certainly want to know what the response was. And then set up some sort of means of checking that, because it certainly is beneficial for the workers. As Beth said, it's such a long drive for them. They can't just run over to their house and grab some ibuprofen. It's not that simple. But let's find out what the reasoning was, if there was any, figure out how to get them back in there, and then keep them in there.
Great. Good idea. We will. You know what, people? I am going to, because there's only 9 or 10 of us on here, I am going to, where do I go for that? Oh, there. I'm going to unmute. You can all unmute yourselves now. So, Cindy, you wanted to ask something.
My thought with the removal of the
medications, if it's an expiration thing, which we all know that, you know, milk is even good 7 days after its expiration date, but if they were going to be removed, then they should have been replaced if the expiration date was the issue. I mean, there's no reason to remove it and not replace it since it was a viable thing and they have a budget. Just my thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, have the good ones in hand before you take the quote-unquote bad ones out of the box.
Okay.
Oh, well, okay.
Go ahead, Sue.
Oh, this is Sue Waite. And I had heard in the atmosphere that there was some talk of, you know, why do we even have it? You know, don't people have their own? And I guess, and although, again, there's nobody from the safety committee here, I would like to just say that, you know, it's not just for the workers. I mean, if I were up at the garden or out and about, sometimes it's hard. Maybe you've walked up there. It's hard to run down and get some antibiotic ointment or Benadryl, or maybe you're working in the garden. So I think, you know, it's still for all of us. So, and it's important. So anyway, that's it.
Okay. Thanks, Sue.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, Cindy, you have your hand up, but I think you can unmute yourself. No, it's gone now. Okay. All right, well, what we'll do then is the board will collectively come together. We will find out what the motivation was behind to remove them, and we will get back to you on it. Okay. So that is pretty well our meeting for today. Does anybody have any? Oh, Marcia, did you want to say anything, Marcia?
I was just going to agree with what Melissa said about the first aid kit and having ibuprofen available. You know, I know I was taking care of it for a while, and Nacho was using ibuprofen often, and it just made me really mad when it was all of a sudden taken away. Because it's hot working out there, and if you need it, you should have access to it.
Right. In as little time as possible.
Yes.
Okay. No, thanks, Marcia. We will have to look into this. Yes?
This is Sue Waite again.
Yes?
Is there any way for the board to contact the safety committee and ask them if they could communicate with each other and have one of them present at a board meeting?
Yes, we can do that as well.
Great idea.
That would be helpful.
Kathy, this is Paul L.
Yes?
Besides the fact that, you know, they're not even here to discuss the medications that are gone, I mean, they sent an email last month requesting all this equipment. The board responded to them, and it just died there. They don't seem to follow through on anything. You know, they might try to start something, but they never follow through with it. You know, and they can't even be here to present their case. It seems ridiculous to even have them.
Yes, but let's, as Melissa said, Paul, it's a great idea, but let's get, the board will come up with an email. We'll find out what the reason was and why there was nobody present at the meeting today to present a report. And on the fire plan, et cetera, and we'll have to follow up on that. And we will. Okay? You have my, yes, Shelley or Tony?
Yeah, I don't know, are we ready to move on to a different topic? I just wanted to ask something.
No, you can go ahead.
Okay, I'm not sure who the couple who were that were doing the little videos of the gardens.
That was Brian and Beth and Paul and Donna.
I just wanted to say, like, I know you guys do that all out of the goodness of your heart and volunteer, but I just want to say how much we appreciate those of us who haven't been able to get back down to see the property. It's really powerful way for us to sort of feel connected and see the progress and feel encouraged that things are finally moving ahead. And the last few months with some of the meetings have been a little bit negative, but it's one of the sort of great things about the group is see, like, okay, there's still really good things going on. So I just first say thank you for all of you that are doing those little videos and to not going out to cyberspace and not being seen. We really do appreciate it. And if we can look forward to another one coming in the next couple months, it would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, great. We appreciate that. Thank you, Shelley. Okay. So that then kind of wraps up the meeting for today. So if we could find out if for the next meeting with May 23, I know that's considered Victoria Long Day weekend here in Canada, but every day's a holiday for me because I'm retired. Anybody else? Anybody have any issues if we make it May 23 at the same time?
No, sounds good.
Okay. That's Melissa.
Fine by me.
I think that should be correct. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm just getting my book.
Okay.
I do work, but I should be able to do 5 o'clock my time.
Okay. Great. Paris?
Thank you.
Yeah, I said yes.
That's okay for you, Paris?
Yeah.
Okay. And Cindy?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, so our next meeting then will be May 23, Sunday, at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 p.m. Belize Time. If there's no other discussions, we can have someone make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, thanks everyone. Please give me some feedback on how the first Zoom meeting went. I'd appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your evening.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.